recording you're about to listen to consists of several sections. The first is today's Daf Yomi from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi, followed by a brief review that allows you to listen to the entire Daf in between 5 to 10 minutes. That is followed by the same exact Daf from the previous cycle 7.5 years ago, in which there were different people attending and there's a different ambience. Choose the one you enjoy the most, or perhaps listen to one and then listen to the other for review. Enjoy. Today's Daf Ayin Gimel, and we are learning this right here, Ben Chomot Yerushalayim, and we are holding a Daf Ayin Beis on the base. And let me just remind you what we just learned. So even though the Gemara brought in Agav, that the Machlokas of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about what the din is of the 10th day of the 11 days, and because we're going to be getting into the specific halachas again today in terms of the psukim, let me just review with you what the halachas are. So it's a good time to review the closing halachas. So Torah, as we saw yesterday, is halacha l'moshe Sinai. At least this is what Rav Elazar ben Azariah said. It's halacha l'moshe Sinai, 11 days, and the 11th day special halachas. So what are we referring to? We know that the Torah tells us that Shivas Yamim Tevenidata. So if she sees one day, the next 7 days, including that day, are definitely Yamenidais. We know La Halacha. Today we're going to figure out how we know it. But we know that it doesn't matter how many days she saw. She'd see every one of those 7 days. The night after the 7 days, goes to the mikveh, and she's tired, as far as the Dindirais is concerned. We also know the Torah added a new parsha called Zivais, Yamim Rabim, Beloyes Nidata. Woman sees da, not at the time of her Nidais. There's another 11 days, and today we're going to see that that may not be necessarily Halakha Meshavit Sinai only. Rabbi Ben Azariah says Halakha Meshavit Sinai. We're going to see it in Psukim, that the next 11 days, 3 days out of those 11 days, if she sees any 3 days, she becomes a Zava Gedela and requires Sfira Shivas Nekiyim, not including the day that she saw. If she sees one day, then she only needs 1 day of Tyra. If she sees 2 days, she only needs 1 day of Tyra. And only if she sees 3 days does she need Shivas Yimei Tyra. Those days are days of even a single Riyazdam, any time in that day, that's been started. A male has a somewhat similar halacha. However, there's some serious differences. Number one, the re'iya of a nida below eight nidata, there is no way to tell the difference between dam nidais and dam zivais. The moment that she sees dam zivais, it's just as tummy as dam nidais, meaning that she's going to be metame mishka v'maisha. She's going to have all the chumras of a nida, meaning that she's metame someone who sleeps with her, and he's also metame mishka v'maisha. Those are very special chumras. We do not find the same chumra by a male. Because by a male, the first Riyah, we learned out is the same din as Shichvas Zera. Balkari is not Matami Mishka V'Moshe, but he's not really even an Avatuma. So his Riyah itself is not going to be Matami B'Masa. Shichvas Zera is Matami B'Maga. It's a much lighter Tuma. Furthermore, if he sees 2 days, or if he sees 1 day, there's no din of Shmira Yom Keneged Yom. He's Tomei Ad HaErev, and that's it. And if he sees 3 times, then he's metame. That there's a difference, though. Note, I say 3 times, not 3 days, because the zav, the male, is not dependent in yomim. It's dependent on the number of times that he has a separate re'iyah. And that re'iyah is physically easily distinguished from semen. It's not the same material, doesn't look the same, doesn't have the same consistency, and therefore it's not similar in that sense to Ziva as being a function of time, as opposed to the Zav, where it's not a function of time, it's a function of a certain pathology. Fine. Now, there's another difference, and that is, he is not Matame, the woman that he sleeps with. She is Matame him, he's not Matame her. There's another difference, in that he does become a Zav to be Matame with two Riyas, and at that point, only with two Riyas, but he's Achayev a Korban until 3 Riyas. She is Matam immediately with the first Riyah and becomes a Zav, but there's no change in her between 1 and 2, as there is in him. All of these things, basically, we've been learning about all through the Masechta. What we just got involved in, all of a sudden, was the question of whether really all the 11 days are exactly the same, after the Nidos or not. And the thing that triggered that was this final machlokas with Shammai and Hillel, with Shammai and Tefillo. And that was the question of what is the din. It had a number of implications. First of all, there was a question, what would be the din if a Zav is Roya two Riyas? Is it retroactively going to turn his first Riya into Zivas? Does his first Riya always remain the equivalent of Shichla Zera? Okay, that was an interesting question. But the other important question that changes the whole way of our relationship to the 11th day is, what is the halakha of a Riya on the 11th day? Because after all, the 11th day cannot really be Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Because if there's a Re'iyah of Dam the next day, it won't be Zivas anyway. Since Dam is of a Zovah is a function of time, and there's no other definition of what that blood is other than the contextual day in which it's seen. So for a female to say that there should be a Din of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, to see whether she's going to bleed the next day, bleed what? That isn't going to be the blood of Zivas. Well, there's nothing to see. Therefore, one would say, if that's the case, the 11th day is clearly not part of the halakas of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And that's exactly what Hillel says. Now, Hillel is beta that there may be gezeiros in terms of Mishka Vumayisha, because people might get mixed up and think that even on if she saw the 9th day, that the 10th day would be, but the Iker at the end, it's not shaykh to make her really a zav. And therefore, she doesn't really need Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. Beit Shammai holds, however, she still needs to do Shmira. And therefore, if she would be Raya, if she doesn't do any Shmira, even if she's Raya on that 11th day, she doesn't do any Shmira, she doesn't make it that night, she's mamish azava, 100%. If I have a carbon in your eyes, the 11th day requires Shmira. Even if she'll bleed, we won't be Seisr, because it's not Dam Zivas. But nonetheless, before she could be Mituheret, she needs to go through the motions of Shmira. Fine, that was one question. But then there was another interesting question, and that was where the Machlokas came up with Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, and that is, what about the 10th day? On the one hand, the 10th day is Shayach to Shmira, because the 11th day, of course, is Dam Zivas, if she would bleed. On the other hand, the 10th day cannot really ever make her a Re'iyah on the 10, cannot ever get her to the point where she would be a Zava Gedela. And the context of the introduction of the din of Shmira is within that idea. In other words, she could be a Zava Gedela, but if she only sees one of the days that could make her a Zava Gedela, do Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. If she sees two of the days that could make her a Zava Gedela, do Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. And then if she sees the third day, Shivas Yom. But over here, she cannot see the third day, because if she's 10, 11, Dam on the 12th day, that's not going to be part of her Zivas anyway. So that's our question. If you're telling me that the context of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom is as part of the system that turns her ultimately into a Zava Gedela, so then explain to me what the point would be of making her a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom on Asiri. Because even if she sees the next day on a Chamasar, what's the point? There can't be a Shmir on the Chamasar. So in the end, we'll have to exclude both the 10th and the 11th. That, however, is not a change in the din of the 10th day. It's a din in the change of the 11th day. Because day 11, according if you hold of Reish Lakish, that the 10th day is just like the 11th day. So then Rav Shlokesh is saying, in two ways, the 11th day is different from the other days. Two ways. First of all, it itself cannot be Mechayavu on the Shmira. That's the halachas of this. So there's two halachas. It cannot be Mechayavu. So if you see on it, it's not a day that makes you a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. But it's also different in that it cannot be a day for Shmira of the day before either. So it's neither a Mechayev itself, and it is also not a Sphira for another. And therefore, there's two separate halachas. It's Loboy Shimur, and it isn't Ovid Shimur. There's no Shomeres that, of course, can be part of Sphira. So can the 11th day, part of Sphira, she was a Kiyam, but not Shimur. So according to Reish Lakish, neither does it do Shimur, nor is it Mechayev Shimur. All right. Now, yesterday, in the context, trying to figure out where was the Abba Chlok? Because Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish said, in what sugya exactly? So the last thing we brought was that it was said as the question of whether to say the plural halachot of Yud-Alev Yamim, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, halachot of Rosh Sinai, that there's the 11 days different in two ways, as we just said, which is the way Reish Lakish understands it, or is it the halacha of the 11th day, which is where Rabbi Yochanan understands it? It's not b'chayim shimur, but it could still be shimur for the day before. Okay. Meanwhile, we hear from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that there's a halacha of Rosh Sinai about these days, the 11th day and the 11 days. Asks the Gemara today, and this is a beautiful conclusion where we go through all of the psukim. Asks the Gemara today, "Ani halachot minu?" This is now 6 lines up from the bottom. You're telling me that these are halachot? I thought they were psukim. Why do we need a halacha? Doesn't it say in the Braita the Tanya, "Yokol haroeh shlosha yamim b'tchilat nida ritzufim"? Look, the Torah says if a woman sees Yamim Rabim, right? So Yamim Rabim, we understand, means 2 extra days. Yamim plus another Riboy. So, okay. That means she sees the 3 days, 1 day, 2 more days, she becomes a Zava. Maybe that means normally a Nida should see 1 day and is Tameya for 7 days. But if she sees 3 days, even be a May Nidas, maybe she would be a Zava Gedela. So maybe this basically is halacha and how long a period should last, is what the Torah is saying. If a period lasts 3 days or more, then she needs Shiva Sekiyah. That's what you might think. So, Yochol, Haro'ah, Shoshah Yamim, B'tchilat Nida, Ritzufim. She's 3 days in a row. At that point, she is a Zava. And what's the meaning of the opening pasuk of Nidas, where it says, Isha Kitiye Zava, Dam Yezova Bibsara, Shivat Yamim Te'eb Nidata? So obviously we're using that word zov dama bifsara as the flow of blood, nothing to do with zivas. She shivas yamim to be abnidata. It's the opening pasuk of nidas, not zivas. But where is that pasuk that she only keeps shivas yamim nidata and does not require visafrala? She doesn't count shivas yamim. She just remains tmeya for shivas yamim. So if you're telling me there's no difference in the day, so what does that pasuk mean? That is referring to a ro'ah yom echad. A woman who sees 1 day of blood, shivas yamim te'ebni data, and that's the meaning of the pasuk kitiyaz avadam yezova bivsara. You might think that, oh, you could make a big mistake. Talmud Lomar, therefore, the pasuk clarifies that that's not what we're referring to, but rather the meaning over here is below 8 nidata. It is not that she sees dam in the zov dama bivsara shivat yamim. It's a separate sugya. V'isha ki yazuv zov dama yamim rabim below 8 nidata. One, it is not time for the shivas yamim, aforementioned shivas yamim. So forget about those shivas yamim. Those are over. Now that time is finished and it's not the time of renidais. That's where it's referring to this halacha of zivais. Ki emei nidata tiyatimeayim. She shall be Tameah as she was during her Yemei Nidot. Lam wrote that these are not the Yemei Nidot, since she saw these days of Dam. Okay. So below 8 Nidata means above and beyond. Samuch la Nidata. So she now just finished her Nidais, and now she continues to be right. So, okay, but what about if she didn't continue? Let's imagine a case like this. She sees for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, however long her period is, goes to the mikveh after the 7 days of nidas, sees no dam at all that next day. So the below 8 nidata, which is samuch l'nidata, nothing happens. A day later, she sees dam. So now it's 1 day, meaning that instead of seeing the 8th day from her original ri'iyah, she sees the 9th day from her original ri'iyah. So how do I know that maybe that restarts the cycle? In other words, where do you get the idea it's 11 days? You said, samuch l'nidata. If she didn't start seeing on that day, which is day 8, so then, boom, she resets her clock. Maybe. How do you know? Maybe she should reset her clock, and the next time she sees, she's in nida again. What makes you think that even if she saw on the 9th day after original ri'iyah, that is also time of zivas? How do you explain that? To muflag l'nidata, yom echad. Let's say On the second day of what we know to be the 11 days, the bride at this point doesn't want to refer to it because it doesn't know the 11. It's trying to derive the 11 days. So it's calling it in terms of the original Re'iyah, right? So in terms of the original Re'iyah, so she, first seven Re'iyahs is Tamei Anida. It's fine. Now, the next day, day 8. That's the day that we know is Somoch L'Nidata. But she didn't see on day 8. Now comes along day 9. Does day 9 start a new period, or is day 9 somehow still part of this Zivas chance? How do I know day 9 is part of it? Talmud Lomar, therefore, the Torah throws in this word, O, Kitazuv. O means one more day. Okay, fine. So now we know any dam on the 8th day or the 9th day following the beginning of a previous period is Zivas day. Okay. But certainly the third day should restart. Let's say she didn't see 8 or 9, and now she sees on 10, 11, 12. Would she be a Zavah Gedola from 10, 11, 12? I'm referring to 10, 11, 12 from the original Re'iyah now, remember. Not 10, 11, 12 of the 11 days, because there are no 11 days yet. We're trying to discover these 11 days. How do I know even another day? B'nayin l'rabot muflag. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days even, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, 9 days, even 10 days. Not 11. But even 10 days.
From the seven.
From what?
From the seven?
No, now we're talking about muflag, how many days? From the seven, yes. From the end of her seven. So muflag yom echad we learn from O. Okay, that means if she'll see on the ninth day from her original via. But how about if she sees 2 days after the end of her Shiva Yom? 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, all the way through day 10. How do I know that none of those days restart her Nidas, and they are all part of her Zivos period? I'll tell you, says the bride. From the fact, Minayin, because it's a Mamatzina. Amrit, Mamatzina. Look, take a look at day 4, okay? Now, day 4 is, she saw 1, 2, and 3. What is the din of day 4? Day 4 is certainly part of the Svira of the first 3 days. Because the Torah says if she sees 3 days, then she should, and the simple puzzle, 3 days means 1, 2, and 3, following 7. Okay, so she sees 3 days. She must be Sofer Chivat Yamim. Only when she finishes being Sofer Chivat Yamim is she restored to her Nidais. Up until then, she's still in this period in which she's Tamei no matter what, right? So her Nidais doesn't start again until she would keep Shivas the key. Now, that means that day 4 is definitely part of her counting days. That's a given. But the Torah was marba with the O, that it's even Roy Laziva. Why? Because if you're telling me that if you could skip one day and then start seeing 3 days, that brings her to day 4. Because she didn't start seeing on the 8th day following her period. She started on the 9th day. So that means 9, 10, and 11. 11 being day 4 from the beginning of what we call the Achad Asar Yom. So those four, day 4 is now not only given to be part of Sphira, but the Torah has added to us that it is also itself Roy Laziva, to create the Zivas. Therefore, I say, wherever I have a day that is a given, that it is for Sphira. And what days are given for Sphira? Well, given is after 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Equals 7 days. So that means that this day 10 following her end of her period, 10 days is a given with this Mamatzinu. They are all Shayach to Sphira, and therefore will make a Mamatzinu just like day 4 was not only Shayach to Sphira as a given, but the Torah was marba that it was Shayach to the creation of Zivas. So now I know that this too is Shayach to the creation of Zivas. Okay, that brings us Afani Avia Asiri, Shira'ui L'Sfira, Uru'uya L'Ziva. But that only brings us through day 10. How do I know that I can be Marba even day 11? Because day 11 was not a given, you see. Because the given in the Pesach was 1, 2, 3, Somot L'Nidasa.
And that makes us 7 days plus three equals 10. But day 11 isn't given to me at all. So then maybe day 11 indeed is the beginning of her next period. So how do I know, asked the Gemara, minayin lerabot akadasar? How do I know that even the 11th day should also be able to be part of 3 days if she sees 9, 10, and 11? Even though I understand that it itself is not a day that it's given, that it could be part of the sphera, that's not given. But it can. How do I know it can actually create nidos if it's the third day of the 3 days of Regia? Talmud Lomar, now the Marsha changes this pasuk to Al Nidata, because the Torah adds that there is something above and beyond her nidos. And that above and beyond, not only below eight nidata, but then it goes on to say, Oki Tazuv Al Nidata. Now, the truth is, I have to tell you, it's more mashma that the original limud was Al Nidata, because that's why it says Samuch Nidata, you see. But Rashi's girsa seems to be this. If we say Al Nidata, you can take a look at the Mesiras HaShas and Rashi for this whole discussion. But basically, Al always means Samuch. Samuch. Al means against. But below eight has no implications of Samuch.
So it means to add one?
No. Samuch means to add one right up against the gifts. That's the next one. Below eight is just saying an additional one. Right. Exactly. So it's not that clear what element of the particular word, because the truth is, of course, we need the combination of these two words. Really. Because the below eight nidata tells me that it doesn't have to be mamash mufla. But then, what is the meaning of the O? We have three limudim so far. We have the O, which tells me I can add a day. We know that it has to be below eight nidata to tell me certainly it's not referring to 3 days within the 7 days. And we have al nidata to tell me that it's some of the nidata, and also that there's one additional day. Now, if there's one additional day, we now add day 11. And here you're going to see how intertwined the two brushes are, Rabbi Yisrael. If you're going to tell me that that below eight nidata or al nidata is marva yet another day, so then maybe I should be marva, since it says below eight nidata, according to Rashi's girsa, so maybe this would mean I should include even the 12th day, so that if she sees 10, 11, and 12, she should be a total zava gedela, and the next Riya does the next Riya of Nidai doesn't begin until the 13th day. Says, well, no, of course you can't say that. Well, why? I don't quite understand. If we're talking about chunks of 3 days, which creates a Zavik Dela, how do you know you can't say that? We're creating a new chunk. That if 11 is part of the chunk, so then 10, 11, 12 is that chunk of 3 days. In other words, as long as it's given that you can start that, remember, this is what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the question of how the last day is Nogea becoming a Zava. And that was the Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlokas, and the Shaila of whether day 10, if day 10, and this is the logic, remember, Rabbi Shlokas, of Rabbi Yochanan versus Rabbi Shlokas, if day 10 can never lead to Nida, to Zivas Gedoyot, then what would be the point of making a Shmira? Once I'm being Marva day 10, then it should be 10, 11, 12. Because that means that 10 has to be the beginning of the cycle of the chunk that creates Zava Gedela. Therefore, ask the Gemara, maybe that's the point. You can't just add 11. Because if you're adding 11, then you're making no sense in telling me 10. And where does it go to? 10, 11 will never create Zava Gedela. Which is exactly the point that Rabbi Yochanan was tying. It's not going to be able, that Rabbi Shlokas is tying, it's not going to be able to bring you. It's just like the Achadasar, Asirik Achadasar. Okay, but that's the logic behind this. So what makes you think, what right do you have to be Marva only day 10 and not day 12? Explain to me. Mara ita, l'rabot acharetzer lo'otzish ne'imasar. Ah, I'll tell you why. And here we'll see how everything is intertwined. The truth is, I already added day 4, meaning the day that is after, remember, the O added 1 day. We took everything from the natural reading of the pasuk. 1, 2, 3 days after the close of Nidos, which is day 8, 9, and 10. from the beginning of her period. Those days are given in a pasuk, Yomim Rabim, Beloit Nidata, teaches me, finishes a period. We learn out, it says three times Re'ias, that makes her Tmei. Okay. The Sevira of those days concludes on day 10, correct? But in reality, we learned there's one additional day that you can pop away, meaning instead of saying 8, 9, and 10, you could see 9, 10, and 11, meaning day 2, 3, and 4, after the close of her previous period. That means that with that original O, if we had made our original assumption that if we look at any day that's Royal Sevira, that it would also be Royal Ziva, day 11 is Royal Sevira, assuming that the Ziva started on 2, 3, and 4. So 4 and 7 is 11. So we really do have a basis for adding that 11th day, but we have no basis for arranging that the 12th day and saying, well, but the Torah said to add. Yeah, the Torah said to add, but it said to add in context of the other pasuk that added. And therefore, it all literally adds up. Because if I add it on one end, if I added that extra O on one end, it makes sense to add the 11th on the other end. Because now the 11th is Royal Sevira. Because if she sees from the 9, 10, 11, then she's also going to have Shiva Sakim until the 18th, which is the 11th day after her 7th. But I have no right to add the 12th day. That's the point. So Mara Iter Rabot Achadasaloti Shemasar, very simple. Maravani Achadasar, because it is Roy at least to the additional Sphira that comes from the new idea of, quote, O Kitazuv, unquote. That was an additional Re'iyah starting on day 9 instead of day 8. But I will not include the 12th day, because it certainly isn't Roy for the simple reading of the Pasuk, which is 1, 2, 3. But it isn't even Roy for the additional reading of the Pasuk of, quote, O Kitazuv, unquote, which would be day 2, 3, 4. Because even that would have ended up on day 11. How would you ever get to day 12 for Sevira? Therefore, a day that is not given as the day of Sevira that is mentioned in the Torah is not given as a day that the Torah would want to include as the origin of the Re'iyah either. So here we see the perfect logic that comes out of the Pesukah's mind. It's very beautiful. Now, all of this is the Yamim Rabim, Yazuv Zov Noma Yamim Rabim. That's 3 days. Amy Ela Shloshay Yamim. Okay, so now I know there's such a concept called the Zova, who has seen 3 days of bleeding. But how about if she sees only 2 days of bleeding? Is she also Metana? Shnei Yamim Minayim? Talmud Lomar? Yimei? Yes. Why else does it say it this way? Yimei. Yimei is 2, isn't it? So Yimei, that should be telling me that even 2 days is Tamei. Okay, what about 1 day? Would she be Mitama even with 1 day? I mean, it says, Kol Yimei Zov Tumata. Yimei is a minimum of 2. No, that's what it says, Kol Yimei. Any day, even 1 day out of all of these days, she should be in a matzev of tuma. So that means that what? She's tmeya. That tells us that she is even mitama et boala kinida. So then it says tmei nidata. Okay, so if a guy sleeps with her, he now becomes Tame, just as if he had been boala nida, even though she's not a zofa gedewa. She's a zofa ketana. So she's Metama as Bayala. Now, why does it say that not only Koyime Zov to Mata Kimini Nata Tiye, that she shall be Kimini Nida Tmei'ahi? These closing words, Tmei'ahi, doesn't only end with the word Tmei'ahi, it ends with Tmei'ahi. And that teaches me a very important Chiddush. She is capable of being Metame, the male who penetrates her. But a male cannot be metame, if he is tame as a zav, cannot be metame the woman that he penetrates. The ina zav metame ma shehu bo'el. So in other words, whatever it is that he is penetrating is not going to be tame. He doesn't have this din of being able to be metame people. Of course he can be metame people, but he can't be metame people to make them an avatuma to be metame mishka b'moshe themselves, the way that she has the power of turning an act of bia into an extension of herself in which he becomes her. And if she's Matame Mishkav Moshav, even though he's perfectly Tahar, he becomes Tame Mishkav Moshav. A remarkable halacha.
Without being Tame.
Without being Tame. Well, I mean, that makes him Tame, but it's a completely new type of Tuma. That even we even have a Havamina that he becomes hurt to such an extent that he begins on the day that she is. So if he would sleep with her on her seventh day, he would be Tame for one day. If he'd sleep with her on her fifth day of Nidah, he'd be Tame for 3 days. No, that one we have a pasuk that tells us not. But you see the Havamina, that he's literally an extension of her body. You, and this is, of course, the ultimate male fear. Males always think that they're the ones that are being Koveya. So you would think, okay, see, he's penetrating her, he should force her to have be an extension of himself. No. The Torah is telling me that, believe it or not, the one who subsumes in an act of intercourse is the woman, not the male, who always thinks he's on charge. So Lamaisa, he ends up becoming part of her, but she does not end up becoming part of him. But wait a minute. Wouldn't it be a Kal Vachomer that it should be the other way around? Valo Dinu? Look, I mean, a woman's din of Zivas is really much more Kal than a man's din of Zivas, because she needs a day in order to be Tameyan. If she sees 3 times in one day, that's all one Re'iyah. Even if she's 100 times in one day. But if he sees 3 times in one day, he doesn't need different days for his Zivas. He needs different Re'iyahs for his. Now, that's a big Chomran. So wouldn't it be a Kal Vachomer that Mahi, She'ina mitama b'ri'iyot kibiyamim. She doesn't have a concept that the Re'iyah per se is the issue. It's the day. And notice how the whole focus of the Torah, of the Yamim Rabim, and the Eitz Nidata, the Shibaz, it's all about days. When it comes to him, it's nothing to do with days. It's the Re'iyahs themselves, which mean that the Ziva is much more focused on the actual material of Re'iyah. So therefore, if he is metamim, Bereiyas kibiyamim, and he should certainly be metame etchu boel, because if he sheina metame bereiyas kibiyamim metame etchu boel, who she metama bereiyot kibiyamim, eino din she metame mashu boel. So the object of his beila, note it doesn't even say the woman. The object of his beila, this is the classical male point of view. So the object of his beila should certainly be controlled by his beila and defined by his beila. Talmud lomar he. No, it's about her. So it's the her. The her, she alone, is metamat bo'ala. Ve'in azab metameh mashu bo'el. You notice the subtext.
Unbelievable.
It's truly unbelievable, isn't it? It's so beautiful. It's like, and the Ramazim of the... And it's like, you know, and guys sit there and they'll learn this. And it's just, yeah, it's just a funny lesson, you know. It's like so full of so much
it's
meaning.
World.
Amazing. Okay, so continues the Gemara. Our president is doing a shtick up. It's nice to know something's never changed. Now, the question over here is, how do we know? Uminayin, it should say shehi. Osa. Or it's just take out the whole word, as the Agosmer of Ronsberg takes out. But he also suggests maybe it should say shehi, but certainly it's not referring to him. Minayin, she osa mishkavu moshav. Now, how about, I understand, okay, this is a special exercise. So she's metame him, but how about, does she have a din of Tumas Mishkav Moshav on everything? How about the Princess and the Beast scenario? Would she be metame the bottom mattress? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says specifically that, yes, it has to be exactly the same as her nidah. So it says kemishkav nidata. What do you think we throws in the word kemishkav nidata? To tell me it's not stamma din and tumah, it's a special din and tumah mishkav moshav. Even the halachas of mishkav moshav of a nidah apply. But wait, they apply, but they apply in this din of yamim, rabim, etc., right? They apply where she sees 3 days. But do they apply even if she only sees 2 days? In the other Shalashayanim, do I know that it applies even Shneyanim Minayim? Yes. Talmud Lomar, Yemei a minimum is 2. And even 1 day? Yes. Talmud Lomar, Kol Yemei. So whether it's Nogea Tumas Bo'Allah, or whether it's Nogea the Dinam Mishkevu Meshav, the halacha is clearly from this pasuk. Any Re'iyah during the Yemei Ziva is Metame in the same way. The only difference is the Gabi Korban, but that's all different pasuk. That's not what we're interested in. Okay, now, so far, what it appears is, any re'iyah during those 11 days, whether it's 1 day or 2 days, is betame mishkavu b'isha, but it doesn't require the sfira shivas nekiyim. We never heard anything about a shomer's yom keneged yom. So far, we do not, in fact, have sufficient information from the psukim, because maybe what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was referring to was halacha of shomer's yom keneged yom, and so on. And that was really the question that was in the argument of Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Does the 10th day require shomer's yom keneged yom or not? That was the shaila. So, how do I know, asked the Gemara, minayin shesoferet echad liachad? How do we know that she should have to count 1 day to another day? So if she's roa for 1 day, then she has to count 1 day that is tar. How do we know that? Talmud Lomar, therefore, comes along the Torah to say that it shall be yellow. Where is it? Shneem yiminazar. Yeah, it's world. Talmud Lomar, therefore, comes along the Torah to tell us that these days shall be yihyela. It means that she shall keep these for herself. What does yihye, remember, always means a lashon either of an existential state or the creation of a new state. So yihyela means, in the lashon of the Gemara, havaya acheret. In other words, it's coming to give us a new concept of havaya. What havaya are we referring to? Shimon. The new state of being in this pasuk is Shivas Yamin, counting Shivas Yamin. Yiyela means that there's an additional, besides that, there's an additional Havaya of Shmira. Not the full 7 days, but something. Okay, so then that something means that you count Shiva for the Shivas Yamin, but Shiva also for the Shnayim. I mean, I understand if she saw 1 day, so then there's a new Havaya. But maybe that's only for that 1 day. And the truth is, look, I'll make you a kav chomer from the male, because by the male, it's very clear if you count the number of times it mentions Zivas in each pasuk, and as we saw earlier, this is a beautiful drasha also. So what's the din of itself? He who's Roya, 1 day, what's the din of that 1 day? It's no different than a Balkari. There's certainly no din of Shmira on a Valkyrie. Okay, so let's make a Kal V'Chomer. If a male who doesn't have any din of Svira, of Echad, Le'echad, the way she does, there's no din of Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, there's no din of Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. But what's the din if he sees twice? That's another one of the major differences between the man and the woman. The male, if he sees twice, has to keep Shivas Nekiyim. He just doesn't bring a korban. The woman, if she sees twice, doesn't have to keep Shivas Nekiyim. So a male is one, Tumas Keri, two, Shivas Nekiyim, three, a Karban. A woman, the Halacha, is one or two, Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom, which never appears by the male. Three is both Karban and Shivas Nekiyim. That's the difference in the Halacha. So now, if he who isn't so fair at all, if he's Raya Yom Echad, the moment that he's Raya for 2 days, he requires Shiva Sekiyim. So a female who has to be Sefer's Yom Keneged Yom B'Shimur certainly should be at least the same as the male, and therefore require, if she sees 2 days, of Ziva Shiva Sekiyim. And the din, therefore, 3 days would be similar to the din of the Zav of a male 3 days, that it requires 3 days to be Machai of a carbon, but it should be enough to have 2 days to require Shiva Sekiyim. How do we know that that is not true? And we don't make this kal v'chomer because isha soferet echad l'chad, is it not a kosher case? Ein odin shetispor shiva l'shnayim. Talmud lomar, therefore the Torah stresses, yiyeh la, for this alone, this day alone, meaning ein soferet ele yoma, it's that day that is b'chayev one more day. So now we know every last halacha from the pasuk. We derive beautifully the din of the Echadus HaYamin, the difference between the Re'iyos on each one of these days, the din of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. What the heck do we need more for? That you told me it's Halacha L'Mershmi Sinai, Al Makroininu. So where does Brisa come from? If Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is correct, and he's telling us, no, listen here, we're not interested, Rabbi Akiva, in your fancy limudim of your bashemens, and the din of the achadus hayom shebein nida l'nida, those are all halachah l'mishmei Sinai. Who said the Brisa? What do you mean who said the Brisa? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, you're right, Rabbi Akiva, that's Rabbi Akiva's power, is his ability to derive everything from the pasuk. We know that he himself is not mekabel these halachas, that's why he was arguing about the amount of shemen that you bring for the lach meitana. And that's exactly where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was putting together these two halachas, where Rabbi Akiva was ignorant of the halacha, because he hadn't been mekabel them. You're not mekabel halacha, from everybody who tells you, I was mekabel that halacha. So therefore, this Braita indeed is Rabbi Akiva's brilliant drasha, in which he derives everything that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah knows from the halacha, from the pasuk. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it's hilchata. And of course, this is exactly what drove Moshe Rabbeinu crazy in the shir of Rabbi Akiva. You know what he was talking about, because he didn't know these drasha for the pasuk. Then he heard, finally, halacha l'shmi Sinai. Phew, thank heavens. Okay, so that means...
Welcome
that,
back to the
Could you not the Afrikaans? Yes, but it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Listen, Lamaisa, what is this like? It's like a Sneil ben Knaz. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter, he forgot thousands of halakas, maybe, right? Comes along with Sneil ben Knaz, he figures out all the halachas. But they're not halachas anymore. now they're drashas.
Which can be argued.
You can argue with the drasha, exactly. Okay, so in Achinami, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah,
Dorosh a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But one more question. Omar Le'er, Shmaya Le'er, Abba, maybe this means, look at the stress on days. It's always about days. Maybe it really means that only a Re'iyah in the day turns her into a Zava. So, Ema be a Mama Tavi Zava. But if she sees a Re'iyah at night, Belilia, then maybe all Re'iyahs at night are always Re'iyahs of Nida. Because otherwise, why is the Torah making such a big fuss of Yom? It shouldn't be a din in Yom. Amale, sorry, but the Torah has thought of that. Alecha Amakras, because of folks like you, that the Torah makes it very clear, Al Nidata, remember that good old Al Nidata meant Samuch L'Nidata. When does the Nidas end? At the end of the day. When is Samuch L'Nidata? Last I heard, the end of every day turns into a night. Which means that it's telling us, the Meziva begin a night. In which case, Samuch L'Nidata Ematavi, when is Samuch? Balaylia. And it's there that the Torah introduces the whole concept of Kori Lazava. That is the answer. And we shall leave the closing words to our president's wonderful siyum, which I don't know, you weren't here, but our president offered to make a fantastic, beautiful siyum mesechet. We told him it doesn't have to be fleish. It could be salmon, herring. And you don't want to supply the entire old city. I see. Okay.
I think we should have a little private.
but what happened? Okay. Hani alachot inu, hani kroy inu. The Tanya Yoch laroe shlusha yamim b'tchilat nida. Ritzufim teizava, uma nimekayem ishakiti azava dam yezova. That shivas yomim tiabenidata. That's beroa yom echad. But if she's roa shlusha yomim, even during your main nida tiyezava. Talmud Lomar, no, it has to be beloit nidata. And that's samuch l'nidata. Okay, but Ainli Ella Samuch Lunidata, which is the eighth day. How do you know Muflag Lunidata Yom Echad? How do you know that even if it's Muflag one day, that Minayin Tamalama or Kitazub, Ainli Ella Yom Echad? How do you know the Rabot Muflag Shnaim? Shoshar, Ba'ak, Mishah, Shashah, Shifah, Shmonah, Tishah, and even Asara, Minayin, Amit Mamet Sino Biravi. Sure, Oila Sfira, but it's also Oila Ziva, because if she sees Beis Gimel Dalad, then Ravi was part of the Zivites. Afani Avia Siri, Sure, Oila Sfira, And Ro'ila Ziva, but what about Akadasa? Akadasa is not part of it, even if she was royal of Beit Gibel. Talmud Lomar, Al Nidata, or Beloit Nidata, depending on what gears you accept here, that one more day. So then if that's the case, why not make it a chunk of days? 10, 11, 12. Yoko Shani Marbe Afshneimasa. Nah, I'm at love. What do you mean love? Why? Marahita Rabot Akadasa, Lo Tishneimasa. Marbe ani akadasar sheroi lesfirat, quote, o ki tazuv, unquote. But motzia nishneimasar, which is not roi to be part of the original sphere of Aleph Beis Gimel, and not even roi to be part of the sphere of o ki tazuv. Now, emi ela shlosha yamin. How do you know she's tmeah even if she's roi shnei yamin minayin? Talmud lomer yamei. And how do you know yamei chaminayin? Talmud lomer ko yamei. And it says Tameyagi. So Tameyah teaches me she's even Metama. Malamichi Metamad Bo'alav, just like the Nida, it says Kidni Data. But it says Tameyahi. That teaches us that he Metamad Bo'alav, but Ein Azav Metame Mashu Bo'el. Isn't it a Kavachomer or my Ishena Metamad Bo'iot Kibiyamim? Is Metamad Bo'alav? Who Shemetame Bo'iot Kibiyamim? Ein Adin Shemetame Mashu Bo'el? Talmud Lomar, he mitamad ba'alah, ve'in azav mitamei mashuhu bo'el. Minayin cho hi osa mishkavu moshav, Talmud Lomar, ki mishkav nidata, en liyal shlosha yamin makes mishkavu moshav, shnei yamin minayin, Talmud Lomar yamei, and yom echad minayin, Talmud Lomar ko yamei. And where do we get the din of shemeres yom keneged yom? Minayin shesoferet echad le'echad, Talmud Lomar, there's a new havaya for her. You might think that means tispar shiva l'shnayim, which I'm not just picking this out of hat, man. It's a kavachomer. Umahu she'inu sofer echad le'echad, because it's just like a riyas keri. Nonetheless, if he's roya too, he's sofer shiva l'shnayim. He she'sofer echad le'echad. Ein adin she'tispar shiva l'shnayim. Talmud lomar yihiela. Ein asoferet ela yoma. Alma Kroininu. Yes, Kroininu. Rabbi Akiva, they're Kroininu. Remember, it was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who said it was a Hilkata. Omer le Rav Shmaya le Rav Abba. And maybe since the Torah is so focused on Yomah, Yom, Yomei, and Yom, so maybe only Yomah, Tavi Zavan, if she's Roya Balaylia, Tavi Nida. Which is Samuchla Nidata. When is Samuchla Nidata, for heaven's sakes? Balalia, the Kokori Lazava.
That was the daf from the 12th cycle of the International Daf Yomi. Hold on, and you shall hear the same daf from the cycle 7.5 years ago, cycle number 11. Before it's ruined forever. Helps around how to view the issue of the 11th day. The way that we were arguing between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish was, do we say there's two special halachot of day 11 or one special halacha of day 11? So according to the Lashon that says halacha, that there's one halacha that's different, is Rabbi Yochanan and Shita. The only difference is that the 11th day, according to Beit Hillel, is not Mechayev Shmira on the 12th day, because what's the point of Shmira if any dam will be dam nidais and not dam zivas? Again, none of this is relevant according to Beit Shammai, because according to Beit Shammai, the din of Shemer is Yom Keneged Yom, besides being a halacha of possible retroactive tuma, is anyway part of the norms of how it is that Anisha Zava should be mitta'eret, whether or not there is any chashash of restoring the Tumas Zivas. But according to Beit Hillel, how do we understand it? So Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, Rish Lakish and I agree that certainly there's no din of requiring Shimur for a Re'iyah on the 11th on the 12th. So the 11th is different than the other days because it doesn't require Shimur. Of course, that's not to say that there isn't the Durabonan that we said, you know, Reze Gargaron and things like that, and we said before Gargaron is also fine, but we're talking here about the Duraita. However, the question is, how about doing Shmira
for the 10th day. That was the machlokas with Yochanan Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said halachot. There's two dinim that are different on the 10th day. A, it doesn't require Shimur itself or Re'iyah on the 12th day. And B, it doesn't serve as a day of Shimur, of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, of a woman who was Re'iyah on the 10th. Because what would be the point, assuming that the din of Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom is in order to establish not only that she was Chozeret L'Tumatah the next day by seeing a Re'iyah again, but also of keeping track of the possibility of becoming a Zavik Adela. And that's part of the Etzem Din of what it means to do a Shmir of Yom Keneged Yom. And that would mean that the 10th day, being as there is no 3 days, it's only 10 and 11, wouldn't require even Shemer's Yom Keneged Yom for itself. And therefore, 11 would also not only be a day that doesn't require Shimur for itself, but also cannot serve as Shimur for the day before. So there were two ways of looking at the 11th day. And that depends on the three different ways of understanding Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. Beit Shammai's approach, that it's a halacha in the tahira of a woman, and two possibility in Beit Hillel. Either that it's Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom in order to allow for the possibility of retroactive tumah by sitting down today, in which case the 11th day doesn't need it, but the 10th does. Or Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom is to keep track of the possibility of Shalosh Re'iyos to become a Zavik Adela, in which case even the 10th day will not require Shmira Yom Keneged Yom. Now, yesterday we found that there were two descriptions of where the discussion of Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish took place. First, we had it just in general in the terms of our Mishnah. We were discussing Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, so there it just came in. However, there was an Ika d'Amre that had the discussion of Rav Yochanan Rish Lakish regarding the din of, that's now being argued between Rav Akiva and Rav Elazar ben Azariah, in which, agav, entirely on the way where we were discussing the halakha l'moshe m'Sinai of the din of Chatzi Yisarom for Lach Miteda. So there's a machlokas there between Rav Akiva, who holds that's derived from a pasuk of a ribuy acharibut, and ribuy yellow acharibuy yellow lamayit, which reduces the normal isarin of the mincha to a chatzi isarin. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says it's a halacha. And what's interesting is that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah groups three halachas together that don't seem to have any relationship, which is the chatzi lukshemen of the lachmeteida of the revucha, the din of the shemen l'nazir, and the din of Achadasar Yom Shebein Nida L'Nida. The reason that they're grouped together would appear, and Tosis suggests this when the Segedat continues, it would appear that they're either they're grouped together because he was Mekabel them together, which we often find we group halachot, or they're grouped together because these were three issues in which there was a machlokas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, about whether these were truly halachot or Moshe Mishinai, or they actually had a basis in the Pesukim. And we'll see later on today another one that Rabbi Akiva argues on. But certainly they're arguing legabe, the din of the shemen, of the, rather the shir of the chatziluk shemen for the revucha. Now since they've discussed, meanwhile, achadasa yom shebeinida lenida was one of these three, and according to this lesson, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were arguing about that statement. What does it mean when you say achadasa yom shebeinida lenida? This is how Rashi learns the sugya. There's a lot of problems, as we mentioned yesterday in Rashi, because nowhere does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say anything about the 11th day. It talks about the 11 days. And we'll see that the entire discussion today, which seeks to show that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is wrong in saying that the 11 days of Moshe Mishinah, because actually it's derived from Pasuk, and that's the Gemara's upcoming Kasha, doesn't say a word about the 11th day. It only talks about the 11 days, which further strengthens the question. I mean, what makes you think there was any? Why would Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish be speaking about a putative halachot of the 11th day when no such thing was ever mentioned? Therefore, Tosfos says, of course that's not what the Gemara means. The Yud Alev Yom Shebeinida L'Nida, there it's talking about the entire 11 days. Never any mention of something unique about the 11th day. It's just that it was in the context of that sugya that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish were arguing independently, mitzana svara bi'alma, of what that means. Which of these halachas apply to the 11th day? And we'll see in the Lashon of the Gemara later on how that would work out really correctly and nicely in understanding Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. As I mentioned yesterday, calm. The heartbeat is too loud. As I mentioned yesterday, the Tosfos HaRosh suggests that Rashi, in explaining it the way we originally explained it, must have had a different gerusha, in which he learns that what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said was not Achadasa Yom, but rather Yom HaAchadasa. And that's why there was an understanding in Rashi that they were arguing about his statement per se, the 11th thing. Of course, Tosfos is bothered. So then if that's the case, what's the Gemara's question about? What do you mean? The 11 days are learned from Pesukim. The 11 days are learned from Pesukim. But not the 11th day, the dinim of the 11th days. What was the Gemara's kasha according to Rashi? Answers the Tosfos HaRosh for Rashi that all the Gemara is asking is that if we have a Kabbalah HaLosh Sinai that defines the unique status of the 11th day, then by definition we know that there are 11 days. And so the Gemara is saying, why would we need to look into Pesukim to find 11 days if there's a halakha of Yom HaKadosh? Then it's a given that there's 11 days, because those halakhas of Yom HaKadosh are all built around an understanding of what Shomer Jem Keneged Yom implies, Legabe the Dinim of Zivas and Ninas. Any idiot can understand that if there's a special halakha of Yom Yodalev that doesn't require Shimur, it's because you're back in Nidus on the 12th day, which gives you a total of an 18-day cycle. So what are we talking about, Bichol? So that's not a problem, says the Tosfos HaRosh. Tosfos' problem with that aspect of Rashi is really not problematic at all. So we got up to yesterday then, today's daf is daf Ayin Gimel. We got up yesterday to the Gemara on the bottom of Ayin Beis Amid Beis, which the Gemara asks, Hani halachos, we're up to 6 lines up at the bottom, right by the end of the line, Hani halachot nino, these you call halachot. We're asking how Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah calls the 11 days halachot. Well, why are they halachot? Hani kroi nino. It says clearly in the Braisa that we derive the 11 days out of Psuki. And here is, you know what, it would be nice once and for all if we're on the last daf of the Masechta to look inside the Chumash and once and for all see where it is that we get. I mean, it's amazing. It took the entire Masechta to finally get to an analysis of the Psukim that tell us where it is we get this wild concept of special days that are Miuchad and Ladidas and special days in Yerchot and Lazivas, and how we know exactly the number of days. I mean, it seems like somebody pulled a rabbit out of their hat, and now we're finally going to see that it's actually quite clear in the Pesuk itself, which will be coming around. It's coming around the mountain right now. As she comes, she'll be coming. Thank you. Nice to have the Koran. We'll deal with this. Look at this. You're here only for a day. And already, Bing Mishami, that's really nice. Okay, so let's take a look now at the end of Mitzora, where the Torah talks about all of the situations that create Mishka V'Moshav when it comes to these reproductive elements. And we'll start with in Tesvav. We start with the Dinim of Zivas and continue on to the din of Shechvat Zerah. This is on page 286 now. I'm on 286. And now we're on 287. The third parsha, after Zov, Balkari, and we're now up to Pasuk Yotes in Perek Tetvav. Note the way in which it's expressed. Ishaki tiyeh zava, dam yiyeh zava bifsara, shivat yamim tiyeh b'nidata. The Torah introduces the issue of Nidas, exactly the same word that it calls the Zohar. We saw this before many times in the implications of this Lahalocha, all these various dinim that we learned from here. But the important thing is, if you take a look at the next Parsha, which is Chofei, it says they're introducing Zivas, V'isha ki yazuv zov doma. It sounds the same. The first parsha. I know, again, remember, you have to pull ourselves back a little bit because we're no longer naive readers. We know too much. But let's assume that we're looking at this for the first time. We open up the Holy Book and we find a discussion of a woman who is bleeding. It doesn't say anything about menses. It doesn't define what exactly this blood is. Two parshas that describe a woman who is zov dam. The first one says, appears to be saying, whenever there's a zivas of dam, shivat yamim tiyeh benidata. That defines nidos, and if it wouldn't be for the next parsha that began a kafe, we would suggest that that's the meaning. Anytime a woman bleeds, she gets a din of a nida, v'zeuze. Now, when we come to read the next parsha, which is Yishaki Yazuv Zov Doma Yamim Rabin, if we would have just said that without the coming words, and there wouldn't have been a concept of eight nidata or al nidata, then when we would say Ko Yemei Zov Tumata Kimei Nidata and so on and so forth, and it says in Pasuk Chet V'Safra L'Shivat Yamim V'Achar Tidhar, what would be our natural understanding? That if there's bleeding for a day, or maybe 2 days, then that creates a state of nidus. And if there's bleeding for 3 days, then that creates a state of zivas. We still don't know. I mean, that would be a very logical understanding of the two parshiyot. One is talking about a day or two of bleeding, which is nidus. One is talking about too much bleeding. So when it would say, therefore, yamim rabim, that's really the difference between the two. A lot of bleeding, that's already a new status. But that, of course, would be a mistake. What it's really talking about is a different time. Our Gemara now wants to go through these two parashot to show how we derive what that time is. So let's take a look. Of course, once we do this, we have a problem with Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Because according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, this is a din that really does pop out of a hat in the sense that it's halacha l'moshe Sinai. And it shouldn't be something that we derive directly from the Psukim. So here the Brisa says, Yochal ha-ro'ah shlosha yamim b'tchilat nida ritzufim tehezavah. You might think that if a woman bleeds for 3 days, whenever it is, forget about it, whenever it is, 3 days straight, that turns her into a zon. Uma nimikayem, and what therefore is the meaning of posik tet, your tet over here? The ishaki tiyezava dam yezova, and that she becomes now a nida for shivas yamim tiyebenidata. That's talking about when she was roya yon echad. But if she's roya 3 days, that's too much. Then she becomes more tame, then she requires shivat yamim of tahara. You might think that's the case. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah makes it very plain that that's not the case. The din in the next parsha, Pasuk Chaf Hei, is Ishak Yazuv Zov Dama Yamim Rabim, but it stresses over there, below eight nidata, not at the time that she was scheduled to be seeing Dam of Nidas. Now it's telling us this is a different time. Okay. Well, what does that mean, this particular time, the low eight nidata? Three times, not during the time that she was a nida. Well, basically, if you look at the continuation of the pasuk, there's two states here. One is ki azuv zov dama yamim rabim below et nidata, and the other one is ki tazuv al nidata. Now that sounds exactly the same to me. There's al nidata and below et nidata, beyond her nidot. The first thing to establish is that the only indication of what those words mean, et nidata, is basically the previous parsha, Pasuk Yotet, in which the Torah defines Shivat Yamim Tiyeh Nidata. So it's whenever that is, that's Nidata. Those are Yamei Nidata. We have not seen that the Torah accepts a concept of given days for menses, right? It only defines Yamei Nidata as the days in which she was actually Ro'ah Nidot. The question of whether we establish a sense of periodicity, which we call the Vestot, that's a different question. The Vestot de Diorita, Vestot de Rabbanan, which leads us to the whole understanding of whether Precious Somach LaVestot is Diorita, Rabbanan, and so on and so forth. But the words in the Torah that talk about Yemei Nidata only occur in the Parsha before. So that would mean, therefore, Somach LaNidata. I would understand those words to mean that she continues bleeding beyond, that's what it sounds like. Yazuv Dama Yamim Rabim Beloidni. In other words, she's already finished the Shiva Shemaim Yidus. And she's still bleeding. She continues to bleed for 3 days beyond those 7 days as defined earlier. Then she needs 7 days of Tyre. So we now know that the 3 days following the 7 days of Nidos, which began from the onset of her Re'iyah, those are 3 days of Zivas. That's a given. That's all we know so far. Now how about if there was a day in between? How about if she stopped bleeding during the Shiva Yemei Nidos? Now, it's not the eighth day. So far we've been discussing 8, 9, and 10. It's not the 8th day. She starts bleeding on the 9th day for 9, 10, and 11. How about that? Would that make her a Zove Gedela? Amy Yelah Samuch Nidata. But that would only imply if we had Beloit Nidata that she continues to bleed beyond 7 into 8, 9, and 10. How about Muflag Nidata Yom Echad? How about if she's a day away from Anita? So she starts now on the 9th day and bleeds on the 9th, 10th, and 11th day. From the onset, not to be confused, of course, with the 11th day we were talking about earlier, which was the 11, which is the 18th, the 11th of the Mezimah. So we're talking about the entire 18-day period. So there, Talmud Lomar, that's the next words in the Posseg, which makes sound like a different case. It is indeed a different case. Ohu Kitazuv. Ohu Kitazuv means, and another case, in which there was something that was beyond Yemei Nidot. So not only below Eit Nidata, but also, as the Pasuk puts it, Al Nidata. Okay. Minayin l'rabot muflag shnayim. How about if it's... Now, Tosis points out that muflag shnayim is an unfortunate choice of words, because muflag shnayim doesn't mean 2 days away, it means the second day, as is clear from the context later. So how about if she starts bleeding, not on the ninth, but she starts bleeding... Now on the 10th. What would be then? So, I'm sorry. So the first case we had was she bleeds 8, 9, and 10. The second case we had was 9, 10, and 11. This is going back to the original 9, 10, 11, and then goes to 10, 11, 12, 11, 12, 13, and so on. So, in the Yalla Yom Echad, Minayin Rabot Muflag, Shnayim, Shlosha, Arba'a, Chamisha, Shisha, Shiva, Shmona, Tisha Asara. How do we know that any of those days would be now? Now this is Asara, not including the 11th. So it doesn't mean the 11th day. Okay, so again, as Tosa says, it's really not a good use of language, because what we mean by Shnayim is really Muflag Yom Echad. And when we get up to 10, we really mean and not the 11th day. As we'll see. So how do we know if the bleeding goes on in any of those days that they all count towards Zivas? Well, we know about the fourth day, right? What do we know about the fourth day? We know that the Torah says that if there was bleeding on the 8th, 9th, and 10th, then the fourth day, which is the 11th day of the 17-day cycle, that fourth day has two dinim. First of all, it's part of Shivas Nikiyin. Because the Torah says Beferish. If there was 3 days of bleeding, she has to keep Shivas Nikiyim. So the fourth day is Ra'oi for Shivas Nikiyim. However, because of the other Pasuk, Oh, Kitazuv Al Nidata, we learned out from there that the bleeding could have started on the ninth day. So if it would have started on the ninth day, then what would have been ninth day meaning over here the second day? So now what would have been now on the fourth day? Second and third and fourth, she would still be becoming a Zava. So that means the fourth day has two dinim, Richie. The fourth day has two dinim. First of all, it's usable for Shivas Yemei Tyre. Secondly, it itself is one of the days in which she could become a Zava up close. Correct? The third day, obviously, she could become a Zava, because that's the given case. The fourth day, we had the extra pasuk, O Kitazuv Dama. Which tells us that even on the fourth day should become a Zava Gedela, assuming she started bleeding only on the second day. So the second, third, and fourth makes her a Zava. However, what if she didn't start bleeding on the second day? She started bleeding on the first day, meaning on the eighth day of the cycle. So then eighth, ninth, and tenth, which would be the first, second, and third, would have made her a Zava. And the fourth would have been the beginning of a Shivas Nikiyim. So that means that day four is defined in the Pasuk in two ways. It's the first day of Shivas Nagiim, and or it's the last day of her Zivas to make her Zav Gedayah. If that's the case, says the Gemara, if that's the case, Ma Matzino Berevi'i, Shira'ui L'Svira, V'ra'ui L'Ziva, we now know that any of the days that are under discussion of you are not limited to days in which she could become a Zav Gedayah alone, in which she could be Sefaris alone. They're both. She could become a Zavah Gedayla, or she could become Sefaris Shivas Nagiim. Then if that's the case, we know that the 10th day is by definition included. How is it by definition included? Because if she became a Zavah Gedayla, it would have to be by bleeding on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. 7 plus 3 equals 10. So the 10th day would be the last day of her Tahira from the Riyah of Zavah Gedayla on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd day. And therefore, it's given that it's one of the clean days. Since it's one of the clean days, meaning since it's Roy L'Sphira Shivas Nagiim, then it's similar to the 4th day, that it has to itself be Roy L'Ziva. If it itself is Roy L'Ziva, that means that any bleeding that starts now on the 10th day is also a day of Zivas. So that's given. We now know 10 days beyond the 7 days of Nidais are definitely suitable for Zivas. How about the 11th day? Minayin l'rabot achadasar. Now, the 11th day is not so clear, because assuming that the bleeding started on the first day, the 11th day is already outside of the Zivas plus 7 days of Tyra. The given is only 10 days. Correct? The way that I know that even the 11th day is part of the days of Zivas and is not a return back to the beginning of the cycle of Nidais is Talmud Lomar below 8 Nidata. Even if it's not around, another way of looking at the below 8 Nidata, now that we know that it could have been O Kitazu. So now we understand below eight nidata means even if it's very different from a yomei nidah. So add another day.
Not so.
Right. So yochosh ani marbach shnei masar. So maybe we should include the 12th day too. Amrit lav. No. For that, you have to say to yourself, I don't really know where I would get that from. Why? I mean, you're telling me below 8 nidata. So below 8 nidata could mean anything. Ah, because, I'll tell you very, very simply, the 11th day actually is part of the given. Because since I already established that she could have bled on the 4th day, and not only on the first 3 days, if I add 4 to 7, I come up with 11. Which means that the 7 days of the Tahira of the Nida who was, of the Zava who was below, not only below 8 Nidata, but also O Kitazuv Dama Al Nidata. So that's different. Marban Yakarasor Shiro Uilisvirat O Kitazuv. Remember, from the words O Kitazuv, we got to day 4. If, in fact, she became a Zava Gedayla on day 4, then the 7 days of Tyra bring her to day 11, not to day 12. So day 11 is now given as a day of Shivas Nagiim for the woman who began to be a Zavah Gedayla on day 4. In which case, we now know that the 11th day is the day that is being referred to by below 8 Nidata, telling me that it can also be a day of the Chalot of Zivot, so that if she bleeds on that day, and not on any other day, she just bleeds on that day, she's still not back in her Yemei Nidais. She's still in the period which is called Zivais.
On the
11th day. So we now know clearly from the Psukim that there must be 11 days before the restoration of going back to Pasuk Yotet, in which, and a woman who is Zav Dama, not in this period that is called below 8 Nidata, what is her then? She becomes a Nida. How many days does she bleed? Doesn't make the slightest bit of difference, because the Torah doesn't discuss how many days she bleeds. All we know is that whether she bleeds one day or bleeds 7 days, There's the same halacha. 7 days she has a din of two masnidas. That's a given in Pasuk Yotet. You're looking confused. For Hatad, you know you're in the middle of the long shackle near the
wall.
Again, let me just give once again a broader view of this. The Torah describes something called eight nidata. The Torah describes something else called below eight nidata. Those are given times that the Torah has now defined technically. The problem is we need to discover what is the technical definition of Yemei Nidata and Lo Eit Nidata. What does that mean? And that's all the Gemara is trying to do, is to show what it means. Because again, remember that the klal in the Gemara is always to apply Occam's razor. You cannot derive more than the information that you're given. For you to say, well, maybe it means anything. Maybe it means whatever period she has, and whatever is not her period. Maybe, 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 but you don't know any of that. Tell me what you absolutely do know. That's a klal and kol ha'Torah kula. We never, ever derive more information than is absolutely necessary, correct? This is expressed in many ways, in Dayal Avomin Adin Liot Kinidon, which is itself halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and in the entire approach of the Medrash to all psukim. You can only take tafasta merubah lo tafasta. You can only take the maximum of the information that is given to you in a minimalist way. That's all you can do. So therefore, we're now going to apply that rule to the words that are used in the only place where the Torah addresses this issue. It talks about 3 days. Yomim is two. Rabim is three. So again, you can go for a maximalist position. Maybe Yomim Rabim means 100 days. But tafasta merubah lo tafasta. Yabim, by definition, is a minimum of 2 days. Rabim has to be adding something to that. So we now know 3 days. That's all that we know. So 3 days of bleeding creates a state of zivas. Could those 3 days of bleeding have taken place during any time at all? No, because it says only if they take place below eight nidata. Aha. Okay, what is eight nidata? Well, the only thing that we know is that the Torah calls 7 days for the first onset of bleeding, eight nidata. That's all that we know. 3 days added to that brings us to 10 days. Then the Torah says keep 7 days for tahara. And you're still during that period of the below eight nidata. Okay, so now we know that there's got to be 10 days. How about if the bleeding began 3 months later, after she had last seen dam? Would that be called below eight nidata? Of course not. Because below eight nidata, again from a minimalist position, only allows us to say immediately after her nidas. The moment that would click out, it wouldn't be immediately after, then she would now be back again to whatever riyah she has being nidas, right? So the Gemara says, okay, but how about if it's 1 day different? No, 1 day different. The Torah went out of its way to say, oh, kita zuv dama. So clearly 1 day different is still called below eight nidata. If that's the case, we now know that we're not stuck with a minimalist position of 1 day. In other words, below eight nidata does not mean necessarily samuch. Now we're forced to decide, okay, so what does it mean? Again, our klal is, we always use the example given by the Torah. You won't hear this anywhere else. And when you get to Elam Haba, it'll be too late. Because they ain't going to let you into a shir when you slept through the same shir in Elam Hazeh. That's it. Keep it in mind. All right. So now what we're looking for is the classic approach of the Torah to take an example of a given and say anything similar to that given is what the Torah is referring to. What is given? What's given in the drasha of Okita Zuv Daba is a extra day, 1 day. Let's look at that day and use it now as a model. What's given about that day is something very interesting. It's part of Shiva's Nikim for if the simple case of Beloit Nidata, where the woman bled on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So now on the 11th, which is the fourth day of her post-Nidos period, the fourth day has two elements in it. It's suitable for counting Shivas Nikiyan, and it is also something which is itself capable of seeing bleeding on for the first time. That we learned from the extra pasuk that told us even day four is suitable for bleeding, right? Now, was that extra pasuk? O ki tazuv dama. O says not only if it's below nidata, sobuk nidata, but even if it's beyond, right? Okay. So now we have our model. Our model is that whenever we can find a day that the Torah is discussing as being part of the B'loi Nidata cycle, in which there's a Re'iya and then there's a count of 7 days, all those days have two elements associated with them. They can be used for counting clean days, and they themselves, any bleeding during them, would be, whether it's on the beginning or whether it's on the end, makes no difference. If it's the first time she bled was 10 days after the Nidas, makes no difference. They all share the model. The model is a day that can be used for Tyre, is a day that can be used for Zivas and not Nidas. Therefore, all days similar to that model, if they can be used for Tyre, which takes us all the way up to day 10, then they can be used for Zivas. Okay? Now, that gives us the fact that there are 10 days that are defined by the Torah as below 8 Nidata. That's a given. Now the question is, do we have a right to extend the period beyond the 10th? Says the Gemara, look, if you consider the fact that we have the parsha that says, O ki tazuv dama al, then that's telling us already that the meaning of below 8 Nidata is not immediately following. Because if it was immediately following, then it would be wrong to say that the fourth day is also roid for Zivas, correct? So it's not immediately followed. If that's the case, maybe it's broader. So it must be broader. Okay. How broad? Thank you. So just a little bit. How broad? How broad? One day. One day. Why say one day? Why not say the 12th day too? Because, I mean, if you're ready to include the 11th, then the 12th should be shown before. No, that you can't say.
What's the one day? How broad one day?
I'm saying, how broad? You're saying to add the 11th day. How do you know to add the 11th day? Maybe add 3 days of Zivas, because that would mean that the 11th day is shayach for being a Zavik day. No. Why not? In other words, why does Occam's razor tell you that, specifically? Why doesn't it make it a new model for Re'iyah v'Zavik Gedolah? Says the Gemara, because I already know from the original extension of below 8 Nidadah to day 4, that if I add 4 and 7, I come out with 11. And that means that if she became a Zavah Gedolah on day 4, if she was going to be mitaharet from her Zivas, she would anyway be on number 11. Which tells us that we can extend the model by that one day to day 11. So that if there's bleeding on day 11, that starts on day 11. What kind of blood is that? Nidas or Zivas? Zivas. But you can't go beyond that. You can't make an argument of, well, maybe we should also say that since it's Zivas, it should be able to lead her to a Zavah Gedolah, and then we should include the 12th, because then Ein Ladav herself. So we're trying to take, again, a minimalist position based on the psukim that are insisting that we extend that position. But again, we extend it minimally. Now the shaila is, how do we understand these extensions? That's the machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish. When we added the 11th day, in terms of what did we add it? Did we add it to require Shemur, and it's like all the other days? Beit Shammai holds that. Did we add it to be another day of Shemur? Rabbi Yochanan holds that. Did we add it just to say it's not a day of Nidais, but only a day of Tumas Zivas? Rabbi Yochanan holds that. That's trying to understand what is meant by these additions. That's all.
Is this day Roilus here and Roilus Zivas? No, right?
That's my focus of how much we mean. According to Reish Lakish, it's not Roil HaZivah. I'm sorry, it's Roil HaZivah. I mean, it's not Roil HaZivah in terms of Zavah Gedolah, the same way the other ones are, but it's Roil HaZavah in terms of Dam Zivas. Fine. So now we have a lovely, clear-cut, exciting, intensely exciting, you wouldn't rather be skiing or anything like that than doing this. No way.
No way.
No way. Okay. I just wanted to establish that it was just a general sense of exhaustion and so on. I had nothing to do with it. So, this really is exciting. I mean, you know. to see the halakhas coming out clearly from the psukim is always very exciting. So now we know that we can derive from the psukim Yud Alev Yom, and we understand why there would be, of course, a machlokas as to how to understand precisely what is meant by that 11th day. Fine. But, of course, the Gemara is asking, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who's claiming that this is all halakha l'moshe v'sinai. I mean, it's all psukim, man. It says it in the Braisa over here. Ein li'ela shlosha yamim. Let's just finish up here. Ve'ein li'ela shlosha yamim. Shnei yamim inayim. Talmud lomar yimei. Now, remember that we started off by saying, hey, the difference between nidus and zivus is that nidus is one day of bleeding, and zivus is 3 days of bleeding. We never examined that underlying assumption, because after all, it said yamim rabim. But, gee, what would be the din if there wasn't yamim rabim? Would that be nothing, or what would that be? In other words, so far we haven't heard of the concept of azava katana, we've only heard of a concept of azava gedola. So how do you know even shnei yamim? Talmud Omar, look inside of your chumash again. Ishak yazuv zov dama yamim rabim below eight nidata. O kitazuv al nidata. So far that's what we've darshan. Kol yemei zov tumata. I mean, that's really not needed, is it? Kol yemei zov tumata. I mean, all it would need to say, zov tumata kinidata tiyeh, correct? So it's talking about kol yemei, it's telling us something else. So yemei, minimum yemei is 2. So therefore I now know is that even 2 days, Talmud Lomar yemei, how about if she only bled 1 day? Is there a din of being a zava ketana even on 1 day of bleeding? Talmud Lomar, kol yemei. Okay. And then it says, tmeyagi. Tmeya means that she's tmeya in the same sense that the nida is tmeya, which tells us that she is mitama et bo Allah.
But kimei nidasa, doesn't that mean it's 7 days of
tumah? It can't mean, because it says shiva. In other words, we know that there's a different, it's got to mean the type of tumah.
Okay.
So now, she is mitama es bo Allah. And then it says, Tmeya he? Why does it stress he? I mean, who else are we talking about, if not he? I mean, we couldn't be talking about a man who was Rei Adam. We already said that that's not included in the din of Tumah for a male to be Rei Adam. So what is it referring to? That he is Metame as Bo'Allah, but who, meaning a Zav, would not be Metame Mashuhu Bo'El. So in other words, only a woman can be the source of Tumas Bia. If a male Zav sleeps with a woman, she does not become Tamei'ah from him. In the inverse, he becomes Tamei from her. And now, why is that necessary? Because I'll tell you the truth, I would have said to myself, without this pasuk, V'halo dinu, umahi she'ina mitam'ah b'riyot k'biyamim, mitam'ah bo'Allah. Wouldn't you have thought that a woman who, after all, is a lot less stringent when it comes to Re'iyah, it's because she requires 3 days to become a Zava Gedayla. And he can become a Zav in 1 day, I mean, because he's Matama Briyas Kibiyomi, she isn't. And nonetheless, she's Matamad Bo'Allah. Who Shematame Briyot Kibiyamim? He, who becomes Tame, even within a day. Enodin Shematame Mashahu Bo'El, should he not also bring Tuma to the object of his Briyah? Talmud Lomar, that's why the Torah had to stress to me, he mitamad bo Allah, ve'in hazav mitame mashuhu bo'el. Uminayin shuoseh mishkav u'moshav. How do we know that this male will actually make, now there's a different girsa over here about whether the who is correct, or should it say he is mitame mishkav u'moshav, which is the lashon of the actual brisa in the Sifri. In the Sifra Rab. So how do we know that she's Matame Mishkav Umosha? Mishkav Nidata. Eli Ela Shlosha Yamim, Shnei Yamim Inai. How do we know, this was all said in the context of Yamim Rabim, how do we know that even a Zava Ketana would be Matana Mishka v'Moshav, Talmud Lomar Yemei. How do we know it's Zavik Katana v'Yom Echad Minayin? Talmud Lomar Kol Yemei. U'minayin she'soferet echad le'achad. Now so far, you haven't told me that there's a difference in a concept called Shomer Yom Kedeged Yom. You showed me that a woman who's Tumeah for 3 days requires Shmir Shiva Stikiyin. And then you told me a woman who was Raya for 2 days is also Tumeah. Why isn't she Raya? Why isn't she Sofer Shiva Stikiyin? You included in the introduction to the Parsha, 3 days, 2 days, or 1 day. So then just be consistent and go all the way through with that. I mean, you did that with Tumas Mishka V'Moshe, which, by the way, we don't do for a male. A male who is Raya Yom Echad is not the equivalent of a woman who is Raya Yom Echad. He doesn't require Shmir Yom Keneged Yom. He's not Matame Mishka V'Moshe. So why, I mean, clearly something is done differently over here. What we're learning out is that the 2 day or the 1 day is the same as the 3 day. I mean, that's what you seem to be saying. It's Matame Mishka V'Moshe. If it's the same, so what the heck, go all the way and make it 7 days if you require Shivas Yemei Taira. Where'd you get the idea that Shivas Yemei Taira is only said for the 3 day Re'iyah? And how do you know that it's enough to be soferes 1 day for a re'iyah of 1 day? Talmud Lomar Yihyela. Therefore, the Torah says it should be for her. In other words, this itself says some additional shmira. Yihyeh is always a tosefet of something like it. So in other words, Mosifa HaTorah Ot Shmira Kamoha, so to speak. It's the way the Gemara's Lashon would have been usually about such a thing. So Yihyeh is now another existential state called Shomeret. What that Shomeret is not the Shivas Yomim, but something else. Okay, maybe the din is like this. Yochol Tispor Shiva L'Shnayim. Maybe, though, that's one particular case, if she sees 1 day. But if she sees 2 days, she goes back to the standard Riyah. By the way, that makes a lot of sense. Because Umahu, if you take a look at a male, he does not have a din of Shemer Yom Keneged Yom if he's only Riyah once, right? He's just a regular Balkari, he could become Torah that evening. So Umahu She'eno Sofer Echad Le'Echad. He doesn't count an extra day for 1 day. But if he sees twice, that's Da'alecha. He doesn't bring a carbon, that requires 3 times. But the second Re'iyah of Zivas actually turns him into a Zav Gadol in the sense that it requires Shivas Yemei Taira, Shivas Yemei Yomim Nekiyim. So Mahu, She'ino Sofer Echad V'Echad, still if he's Roeh to it, Sofer Shiva L'Shnayim. So Kol Shekein He, the woman where the Torah was marred by another Havaya Acheres, another din of Shimur, of Yom Keneged Yom. And she is soferet even Echad Le'Echad. Ain't a din she'tispar Shiva L'Shnayim. So for sure, if she has 2 riyas, she should be at least as bad as the male. And she should have to keep Shivas Yemei Torah, even for a riyah of 2 days. Why only 3 days? Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah says, Yihyela. It's only the way in which, not Yiyula, it's only 1 day of an additional Avaya. That's what's given to her, other than the open case, which is Yamim Rabim.
What about the fact that he is, when it's a Pharaoh's Riyas, Kabyamim, is she not?
Tosfos asks that. And Tosfos says, first of all, we're not really serious about all this. This is all Gilui Mil Sabayalmas, these supposed Kalvachomers, when we talk about the Valo Dinhu and so on. We're not really deriving anything from it. But he also explains that even though we've done a lot of back and forth with these couple, every time we try to learn from one, we say, no, but actually the other one is Chomer. But we also have a right, perhaps, to isolate the particular phenomena. That is, if you're dealing with halakas of Re'iyah, so then it makes sense to talk about the Chumrah of Re'iyahs. So you don't necessarily say in every Kaaba Chomer that we should look at it the other way around. Okay, Tosis entertains both of those issues. Bottom line, he says that Lamaisa, they're all sort of Gilui Milses, right? Okay. I don't know whether we should really do this, but Scott asked that when we talk about Tosis, and I should mark the Tosis for you. I don't know if you want to start doing that from this point on. In other words, it's kedai to see such and such a tosfos. Instead of my simply bringing you the tosfos, I mean, I'm happy to do that.
Just to tell us about the circle a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry, okay, but, you know. All right, so this is the tosfos who, but, okay. So therefore, we now know that there's only one possibility. There's only the possibility of the one day, Shemes Yom Kineged Yom, or there's the Yomim Rabim, which leads us to 3 days. Anyway, getting back to our question, sorry for this long digression, but Amakroin, you know? So anyway, but you do see that these are Pesukim. Whew, yeah, remember what we were talking about? So as far as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is concerned, why does he say that they are Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah? Wait, it's the same old story, honey bunch. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's Pesukim. That's why he was talking about Shemen Shemen. And that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was saying, you can go shemening around all day long. As far as I'm concerned, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. I'm not interested in the Pesukim. So it's nice to find a remez in the Pasuk, but it's unnecessary. It is Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah.
Different Kabbalahs that they...
Oh, so that means, he wasn't the Kabbalah that says Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva. That we find, because we don't find a machlokas in Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah, but we certainly find different people who are makabal different halachas. The only one who has a right to force you to accept Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah is the Beis Din that has, as a member, the one who was makabal that halacha that was given over from the previous door. It's usually only one person or two people. It was the Zugas were two people. Prior to the Zugas was one person. We find sometimes it's who Beidino. Again, the Rambam goes through all of this in the Hakdamah to the Rambam to define precisely who the individual was in each generation, or the individuals that are reliable to force you to accept that this is the accurate Kabbalah. You don't have a right to look, yeah, this is what you heard, but too bad, buddy. What? No, Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah has nothing to do with Beis Din. That's just the Beis Din of the individual was Makabal, like Yoshua was Makabal from Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. That doesn't mean that you were just taught by him. It means you were given over by him the right to be the determining factor as to what the Torah consists of, what these Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah are. Okay, but so sometimes, yeah, look, I was Makabal. You were very nice. I'll tell you how I know it. I know it from a pasuk. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, but I don't care about your pesukim. The fact that you don't know something doesn't make me listen to your pesukim. So go dance around with your shaman day and night. It's not my business. And that's it, like Tosfos says, that this is, it explains why they're listed together. But surely it's not a coincidence that in two of the three, even though we know we don't have information about the one about the Nazir, but in two of the three, we find that Rabbi Akiva finds Pesukim for what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds as Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. It's not a coincidence. Probably that accounts for the linkage of these three halachas. It was in these three things that Rabbi Akiva learned it from Pesukim, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah learned it from halachas, and that's why they were linked. Now, we do find linkages, like Esther Netios, for instance. We do find linkages that were just linked because they were given over that way originally, Halacha L'Moshe Mishnah. So as he says, maybe this is one of them, but then it would be an awfully big coincidence that this would be two out of the three where the Akiva would be tiny, that they're Pesukim. Omele Rav Shemaya Rav Abba. Rav Shemaya says, by the way, I mean, if we're looking at the Pesukim, you notice this constant stress on Yamim, Yamim Rabim, Yamei, and Kol Yamei, and everything else. Does that imply that the Dinim are Davka dinim of Riaz Dam Biyom? In other words, no such thing as a Zova who sees Dam Balaila. Maybe by definition, the state of Zivas is seeing during the day below it Niditam, and any Riaz Laila is always considered to be Nidais, because the Torah was ever Bechadish, the din of Zivas. So Ema Biyamama to have a Zova, Balaila to have a Nida. You see so clearly here the way in which we've taken this minimalist step. Mm-hmm. In other words, being as the given is that Dam is Dam Nidas. That was given. Now we define a special state called a Zava Beloidin that has very strict definitions. So that definition includes Ria Biyom. Just, I mean, isn't that a little weird? What do I care? Weird, not weird. It's a special state. The whole thing is weird. So maybe Belila is just regular Nidas.
Is it Kol Yamim or Kol Yamei, which is so often Marbe, is not, we can't use here? to include night as well?
No, because we use it for yomim first. If we didn't have a riboy for yomim, then you're right. It would have said yom is the rabbis alayla. So amar le, alecha, amar kra. You know what? That actually explains the one loose thread here. Because it was always troubling, why would we say al nidata? If the whole point was kazuv dama is to tell me that even if there's a day in between, so why is it phrased as if it's connected to her nidas? That's the point of telling us that even if it's not connected to her nidas. Aha. It's because of guys like you that the Torah had to write al nidata, because al nidata, the simple implication of al nidata is samuch l'nidata. In other words, straight from one to the other. Okay, when does her nidas end? At night. Because the Shivas Yom, she got to mikvah the night now of the eighth day. And that is the al nidata moment. Samuch l'nidata imatavi b'layliya. When is that moment? It's always nighttime. And the Torah says, and what's the din if she's Rayadam then? So obviously it's not a din only in daytime. And the rest we will continue in the house of Rabbi David Solomon. You get your picture now while everybody's sitting before we break up. There was one additional question. Sit down, Rabbi Barnea, please. There was one of this is like a LL plane over here. There was one additional question, which was asked by Scott, which is, are people going to have davened mincha before?
Yes.
Or do you want us to have a minyan at David's house?
Everybody davened mincha first. Yeah.
Thank you. That's a wonderful idea.
We
might be able to do that. We'll see what time we have.
Yeah, let's see what time. Yeah. I mean, there's so many minyanim around.
So what time is it?
So it was finalized for 5 o'clock p.m.
Difficult unless you're
so you'll daven on your porch.
So
we're 5 o'clock on Rechov HaMalach 2.
11. That's okay.
Rechov HaMalach 11. Oh, 11. Right. Roman numerals. I always get confused.
Do we bring something?
Can I?
Yes. Now, what can we do for you?
How many each of you are? Can I just do that?
How many are each of us?
Okay. So, Barnan is 3. Yaakov, how many?
But you're really 3? Just kidding. Is anyone coming with you?
Oh, really? What's
that? Sorry. So, Barnan is 1.
Okay.
I'm probably 2.
I'm 1. Tomorrow, 2.
I'd like to say something. You've been around me too long. You're too.
Invented?
Yes.
What do you mean, invented?
More than one.